You may want to turn in your Bible to Ephesians and chapter 6. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter, thy word, and here we are, and here you are, to help us understand. So as we seek to do so, help us, and we'll thank you very much. And our Lord, thank you for your death and making all of it possible. Thank you, Spirit of God, for bringing it into reality. And thank you, Father, that the whole thing, when it's done, honors your wonderful person. And our God, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And in our little bit of late, we've been looking at chapter 6 of Ephesians in the light of Joshua chapter 10 and 11. So, and in doing so, we need to tackle to have the benefits of being saved, to have the benefits of being seated in heavenly places, to have the benefit that we have heavenly resources that have no end and no limitation, and they just forever. There's nothing God can't do when he wants to do it. Nothing he can't do. So we have all of that and lots and lots of more. Now, in order to have it, we have to have a relationship to God that is practical and pleasing to God and profitable. And so God has made that possible by the Spirit of God to bring to us all the benefits. But the world system that we live in, as you have in chapter 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And all of that is above the local government. All of that is way above anything of armies or bad guys. It's way above that. The power and what we just read in verse 12, is something way, the controlling element of spiritual darkness is something else. So the only way we can enjoy light in a world of darkness is to have God help us, who's the light of the world and makes us children of light. We need to be able to put on the whole armor of God in order to protect ourselves, in order to profit, in order to shine. You can't, the lighthouse is very good. But if I don't cover the lighthouse with a covering, and I just have a little candle up there, make believe, a little fire, if I do that, the weather and everything will put it out. I've got to cover the fire. I've got to cover the light. So the light is not hindered by the storm. The light has armor around it, as it were, the glass, in order for the light to live through the worst storm, and the light always shines. We need to have the armor on, the armor of God on, in order to do whatever. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, and as we did, stand therefore having your loins, verse 14, girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, just going back and putting that together so that you have you and I can exercise it. Otherwise, we can't exercise it. So, in order to do that, go back, if you would, to review Genesis, Galatians in chapter 3, and put it together again, because it isn't normal for us. So we have to keep reminding ourselves. Galatians chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 27. Directly in the light of the context. Verse 27, chapter 3, Galatians 4. As many of you as have been baptized, placed into, immersed into, baptized, God into Christ. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the baptism of the Spirit of God places us when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior. He places us in the body of Christ as a unit, as one body. And he brings us into that relationship to Christ directly. So, and doing it again, just to keep it in mind, so you see it a little bit, you're gone. God does a wonderful thing. Here you are, and when God baptizes you, he places you into Christ. That's what he does. That's what he does. So, at that part. Now, and therefore, verse 27, not only into Christ, so, you will notice the next, as we did it last time or two, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized, placed into Christ, you have put on already. You have put on, like putting your clothes on. Here you are, and when you were baptized, you put on Christ. This is what happened when you got saved. This is why you're saved. You put on Christ. That's what you did. That's done. Otherwise, you aren't saved. So here you are, saved. Now, put on Christ. Hang on to that part. And then we went to Romans. And in chapter 13, we went and picked up the thought. And verse 14, now here's your middle verb. We did all of this, lots of ways to do it, so you saw it. See it. Romans chapter 13, verse 14, and put on, like clothes, like you get dressed, put on, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, put it on, it's a command. Do something. So, normally, what do? God puts us in Christ. He puts us into Christ. God puts us into Christ, God in Christ in you. And so, normally, we walk around, and this is what we're supposed to be, but normally, we walk around, and what's verse 14? Says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what are we doing? We're normally doing this. We get saved, and we live our normal life in a normal way, being saved, but not being sanctified and set apart. So what are you saying in verse 14? Put on, a command, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got to get him on the outside. And we had the little shirt, remember, to help you remember it. God, you got to go and put it on. You got to put it on in the process. And so, having said that, there we are. I'm like this, that's me, and I'm saved. I need to put on. Since I happen to have this, when did I get this? When I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I got saved. I got saved in a wonderful way. But We live carnal, fleshly. We live our old sin nature. And our old sin nature puts it in here. And God says, you've been saved. You have a unique, wonderful relationship to me, said God. Exercise it. But this isn't exercising it. This is exercising it. So, since I have this, I need to put on the armor which I already have. Put it on. This is something I can't do. I already got it. So put it on and wear it. Put on the armor of God. Yeah. Having said that and keeping that in mind, that's what we're to do, to exercise that. Put it on. It's there, and it's wonderful, wonderful way to fulfill it. Now, what's it going to do? We're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a unique relationship to God that's to be enjoyed. That unit is all little words. Over to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, picking up, going directly to verse 20, so you see it. Because God said, this is what's going to happen to you guys when you get saved. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, this is what's going to happen. Verse 20, again, at that day, Acts chapter 2, etc., when you got baptized, Galatians 3:27, when you were placed into Christ, on that day, you got saved. Verse 14, at that day you shall know, what am I going to know? That I, said the Lord Jesus, am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. It's a simple thing. It's a relationship. An awesome relationship that is to be exercised and enjoyed. That's what you're to do. Another way, it's anew. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or woman, boy or girl, be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. New. That's all new. Well, how new is new? New is new, new. It's new. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, so we need to have the full armor of God and to exercise it. And the armor of God, it belongs to God. So as we're looking at the armor, as he uses the illustration of the Roman soldier. That's what Rome did. And choosing it. Here they are. Here's the Rome. Here they're walking around the street. Here they are in full armor. They're protected, full armor. Now, having said that, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and withstand. Now, so, therefore, gird up the loins, which you did all this, to put the belt around you, whatever you need, to pull up the gown, to tighten everything around your loins, down your hips and lower back, L1, L5, and tighten it up. That's where the power is. And we shared all those things. Elijah girded up his loins, because God was going to have him beat Ahab to where he was going. And he did. He just took it on and went 26 miles and beat the chariot. Wow. Yep, God did that. Gird up the loins. Tighten the belt. because this is where your power, your control, where your body is. Take that away, you got a problem. Just moving. Now, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, let's put that. That's what we're saying. 1 Peter, and at chapter 1, and looking at a little verb to gird up, tighten the belt, tighten the girdle, bring it around. Be very serious about what you're doing. It isn't a loose thing. You tighten your belt, around your loins, in order you're going to be involved. Therefore, when we see the word, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, gird up the loins of your mind. In Ephesians, gird up the loins with truth. Truth. Okay? Gird up the loins of your mind. Your thinking. You know from Philippians and that. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Think. And rethink. And we shared together the other day somewhere in the process. When God tells you to think, you have to rethink. We tend to listen to each other and learn things, and our learning is governed usually by whatever's in our head. And then we hear something, whatever we hear about the tissue, whatever my mind thinks already about the tissue, it's going to flavor how I take this in. In other words, I'm going to alter whatever I'm hearing to fit what I think. Now, that's what we normally do. And we need to be objective. Remember the old-fashioned school? Objective thinking, not subjective. And you learn, cat, dog, everything you learn, numbers 2, 4, 6, 8, you will learn. It's out here. God, what do you want us to do? Gird up the loins of our mind, our thinking. God, when we put on the whole armor of God and you've given us your word, what are we to do? We need to understand. And that's why you've given us your word, to put on something that you've already given us. You've already put us on. We're already in Christ. How can you be saved and not be out of Christ? You have to be in Christ. And you need to get the in Christ in your heart, John 14:20, on the outside. So you're letting it be the centerpiece, like wearing the shirt. You need to wear the thing, wear it. Watch it now, how it comes. Here you have, gird up the loins of your mind. Go over with me, please. In Romans, and chapter 12. And you'll know it, but put it together now. So you see, it's just going to say the same thing and going to build for you, so you can't miss it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what he said. I want you to think like I think, said God. Now, we can't be God, but we can certainly think God's thoughts. God gives them to us to think. We need to understand I've been baptized, placed into God is God. I've already, and by the way, back over in Ephesians 6, that isn't an armor. As you're reading through that, the 6, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. The armor is already on you. Since you're already in the armor, exercise it. You're already here. Exercise this. Exercise your relationship. Exercise it. Hang on. Now, Romans chapter 12, gird up the loins of your mind. I beseech you, therefore, verse 1, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies not dead. It's easy to be dead. Some are going to be crucified. Good, I did what you wanted, God. But you want me to be a living sacrifice. That's right. I want you to walk around as a dead man, dead. Reckon yourself dead and dead unto sin. I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to show that I have made you a new creature in Christ. Show it. You're dead and you're new, and God has done all of this for you already. So when we come down now, God, verse 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How so? How am I going to change? By the renewing of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. You're going to think. You're going to change your thinking. That's what you're going to do. Because we normally think whatever we do, the way how we're raised, our background, our experiences, our reactions. That's what we got a storehouse full of them. We need to exercise newness of mind. If you had to go on a special job, a special kind of assignment in the military or whatever it would be, do you know you would have to train and rethink whatever you thought about something in order to do the job? You have to rethink what they're asking you to do, to put on helmet or whatever, the helmets they use when they drive at night in the process of flying a plane and stuff, the military. You got to go what? You have to rethink, because you got to readjust your mind to adjust, because this is doing one thing, and if you don't change your thinking, you're doing one thing in here, and this thing is doing another thing, and you aren't coordinating yourself. You got to change. So therefore, here we go in verse 2, be transformed. And that's the word to be transfigured. You know it as the word metamorphosis, like the butterfly. It goes through the stages, 1, 2, 3, from a little cocoon, etc. Yeah, metamorphosis, transfigured. God, what are you going to do? You have to learn to think differently so you enjoy differently. Everything when you get everything, the flowers down there, the flowers are all wonderfully working according to design. They're functioning. And you can study the flower and study it for whatever, go to college for it. And you study and study and study the flower. And you learn. The flower is full of life. It's doing all kinds of things to do what it does. We can't see it, but it's there. It's there. The bacteria sitting on top here, you know, nice bacteria, whatever, germs, whatever. That's full of life. And if we had the super-duper magnifying microscopes and all those different things, and we had all of that, we could study all of the movements, all of it's moving and interacting. But I don't see it. It's happening. When you get saved, God starts doing something in the normal systems you have. and God is doing something. God's doing it. And you aren't feeling it. You aren't understanding it. God helps us understand what we can understand, that God is now doing something. You're a new creature. God, you have a unique relationship to God. And God is doing what he's doing. Metamorphosis, you're changing. Go over with me to 2 Corinthians. And you'll see the word again. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 3, as you know, picking up, please, in verse 17. I'll read verse 16, a little context. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that's your heart, the veil shall be taken away, so you can see. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. Verse 18, but we all, with open face, nothing in between, clear mirror, nothing you want to see everything out of the way. You don't want a lot of stuff on your face. You want to see clearly your face, looking into God's word. Therefore, verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. As we're looking at God's word, which is what we're doing, gird up the loins of your mind. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed. There's your word metamorphosis, transfigured. We're being changed. Ultimately, a butterfly. It has to be changed. You have to change. And you're changing. Ultimately, let me finish it. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And God, when are we going to blossom out? When I take you up in a moment of time, I'm going to change you, and you're going to be like me. In a moment of time, I'm going to change you. In the process, you're changing. You're changing like the butterfly, metamorphosis. You're being transfigured, right? You're thinking differently. Gird up the loins of your mind. And here in Ephesians 6, gird up the loins of your mind with truth, reality, wonderful, wonderful reality, the reality. If you want the title, the reality, the realness of reality. Gird up the loins of your mind for the realness. What's truth? What's the word truth? Reality. Real. It's real. Truth makes realness. Realness. Not make-believe. God is really God. You are really you. And everything around is, we don't make truth true. Truth is true because it's true. You don't make it true. Believing doesn't make it true. It is true. And you rest in that truth. Wonderful, wonderful truth. What are we doing? I want you to put on the armor of God. I don't understand. I want you to, dress yourself. I want you to understand, I made you a new creature in Christ. I want you to be able to enjoy. I want you to put on the armor of God so that you enjoy the newness of life that I give you. I just want you to do it. You have to believe. You have to rest in me. And let me do what I do in a most, over to Romans 8, John 8, Our time is gone. John chapter 8. And you'll know it. It's wonderful. Now, you know, the Jews were very busy thinking they were true, that they knew the truth, etc., chapter 8. In the prophecies, they didn't have a relationship to God that they assumed they had. So, when we come over, if we can, over to chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, of a truth, indeed. You shall know the truth, reality, and the truth will give you a wonderful freedom to exercise it." Question, what you've been looking and reading a little bit, I hope. How are you going to practice that? Practice it. I want you to walk out the door, and you done got it, and it's happening in your life. It's happening in your life. Requires God and requires an understanding. You couldn't put that to work in a zillion years if you tried. God, you have to trust God to do what only God can do. Otherwise, you can just say it. You can even write a whole book about it, but it won't be real. You want the reality. Truth is truth / means reality. Something's very real and true. Gird around your loins with reality. Don't live in the make-believe. Live in reality that God really is God. He really, really does save. He really, really protects you. He really, really is. I don't understand the bacteria, but boy, is it busy. I don't understand the flower, but boy, is it busy. I don't understand my little pancreas running, but boy, is it busy. It's all busy everywhere, full of life. And we don't see it. Since we don't see it, we sort of assume it isn't there. We don't even think about it. Let's just study it. Study it. You'd have to study everything. Now, if you study everything you study, you're going to end up with God. I don't care what subject you want to look at. You're going to end up with God. Like they're doing with the universe now. They don't believe in exploding, expanding universe. They're questioning the whole thing, that the universe isn't expanding. In other words, here's the stars, and they're doing this, you see. And we keep measuring. Here's 8 trillion miles, 9 trillion miles, 15 trillion miles. It isn't doing that. It's just like God said. He put it out there, and boom, it isn't expanding. It never was expanding. So now they're having to rethink the whole science of what they've been understanding because it isn't doing it. That's wonderful. They have to rethink everything. That's right. And they're going to catch up with God if they get saved. Get saved. It's an awesome thing. Yeah. So gird up the loins of your mind. That's what you're going to do. And God's going to go and do a wonderful thing, and you have to do it. And in the process, through the two things, I'll close. Thank you for your patience. Anyway, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, what's the truth? Down to verse 36, remember. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, I am the way, the truth. I am the truth. He's the God of the truth, telling the truth of God. And what are we supposed to be doing? Showing the truth of God. God really is God. That's why it is. God, you really are. You really, 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 you are. You are God. Yes. And it's all true. And in order for you to make it, Gird up the loins of your mind so that you're ready to go for it, because the world doesn't see it. The world doesn't want to see it. The devil doesn't want you to know it. It's true. It's everywhere true. You can't study anything, read it. You can't do anything. You end up with you, God. That's right. But we don't want to do that, God, so we just block it out. God said, let your mind be transfigured, transformed. Let it be metamorphosed. Change it to think like I'm telling you to. You making sense? Think like I'm telling you to. But I think, and I add to what I think. I even write it. That's right. We get all kinds of books about all kinds of things. Always, when all else fails, go back to the book. Go back to the Bible. We aren't fundamentalists in that sense. We want to be biblicists. We want to go to the... Remember, I had recipe books out here. You want to make the recipe, follow the instructions. And you can't say, well, I like that ingredient. I like that cake. I think I'm just going to add a little bit of lard or something, whatever you do, to put in things. I don't know what you put in. And I'm going to put something in. I don't have the recipe. I don't have the cake either. You want what God wants. God has given you his word. Read the recipe and follow it. That's all. You want that? That's what we're trying to do. Put on your whole armor of God. Well, that's why I would read it. Otherwise, I don't know how to do it. I can give you a lot of talk, but it ain't going to happen. I got to follow the instructions. And God said, you'll have the benefit. I got to quit. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for coming out on this night we did. Next snowstorm could be whenever, and if they say whatever, count to 3,000, you know. Be ready for it, but don't be disappointed if it isn't there, you know. Everything's going to be the best we can do it. And when we're all done, said God, James chapter 4, that when you're all done, the only thing you can say is what you know right now. You have no idea what tomorrow is, and you can say whatever you want. You do not know tomorrow. No, you don't. Only God knows tomorrow. God knows what you can think, you know, what you're going to do tomorrow. But you can only say in James, Lord willing, I'll do thus and thus tomorrow. Because I don't know that. Lord willing, I got to quit. Thank you for that. Hope you had a little bit.